Good morning. Welcome to this morning of celebration here at the Preston Road Church. We are honored that you have joined us today. I know we probably have some family members, some extended family, maybe even those from out of town who are here to celebrate with us as we honor our graduating seniors. So we are glad that you are here to join us in this special morning. We may also have some guests who are here for other reasons. And so I want to greet you and welcome you as well and hope that you will stop by and meet my wife Aubrey and me at the back after service is over. We'd love to get to know you and just to make you feel welcome here at the Preston Road Church. So we are in this morning of celebration, and this really fits perfectly into what we've been talking about with spiritual disciplines, because celebration is a spiritual discipline. So I just want to talk about that for a few minutes this morning, not a normal full sermon length, because we've done some wonderful honoring of our seniors, just to talk about what it means for us to celebrate as part of our spiritual lives. You may know this, but that is when something good happens, we have an instinct to gather with other people to celebrate. Sometimes it's planned. So back in November, a period of time that many of us will never tire of talking of, the Rangers win the World Series, and there is a planned celebration in Arlington as for the first time, this city gathers to celebrate the baseball team and its victory and parading through the streets, and that was a planned event that people gathered together and celebrated. Sometimes our celebrations are not planned, and yet we still gather. So you may remember 11 or 12 years ago, when U.S. Special Forces captured and killed Osama bin Laden. And I know there are complicated feelings about war and killing, and I get that. But it was a momentous occasion for our country as someone who had caused so much harm and death received justice. And even without any planning, people gathered in the streets around the White House to celebrate that night. So whether it's planned or unplanned, we gather together and celebrate. That is what we do. And it happens all throughout Scripture as people celebrate. It might be Miriam who composes a song and sings to God after he's delivered her people from captivity in Egypt. Or Deborah who sings praises to God in celebration when her people received victory via a tent peg through an enemy's head. Or maybe it's David who comes home from victory celebrating so much that his wife is like, hey, I think people are going to start talking if you keep acting like that. You better tone it down. Or psalmists who say things like, God made me leap over a wall and God turned my mourning into dancing. In fact, so much of the Old Testament is full of festivals and celebrations. And I remember several years ago as I read through Rachel Held Evans' book, Inspired, as she talked about talking with her Jewish friend about the meaning of these festivals and celebrations. And her friend said, you know, you can sum up many of our festivals this way. They tried to kill us, but we won. Let's eat. And even in a book like Lamentations, the book is titled Lamentations, even in that book of mourning, the author says that he celebrates God's mercies that are new every morning. It is right and good for us to celebrate God's blessings when we receive them. One of my favorite passages comes in Deuteronomy 14. And there's instructions there that say basically, look, when it's harvest time, what you're going to do is take a tithe of your harvest, so your olive oil and your wine and your grain, take 10% of your harvest, and you're going to go to a place the Lord commands you, and you're going to celebrate with that tithe there. But there might be a case, Deuteronomy says, where you've received such an abundant harvest that you can't haul even 10% of it to this place. Maybe it's too far away. Maybe you have too much. And here's what the instructions say. If that's the case, then take your harvest, sell it at home, and take the silver to buy whatever you like, cattle, sheep, wine, or other fermented drink, anything you wish. Then you and your household shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice. If you've got too much, sell it and then go to this new town that God commands and buy your celebratory items there. Fermented drink, cattle, whatever you want. Have a banquet and celebrate God's abundance to you. Just what I see in Scripture is that people of faith, spiritual leaders even, know how to celebrate. It is a sign of spiritual maturity. And Jesus talks all about it. Jesus begins his ministry by talking about the year of Jubilee, which was a celebratory festival every 49 or 50 years that was not just about celebration, it was about justice and it had some economic elements to it. But that's the first thing he does. He gets up and reads a scroll and says, I'm here to bring about this year of celebration. Or he tells a story about a son who's gone off in rebellion, and when he returns home, the father celebrates, kill the best calf we have, and we're going to have a barbecue to celebrate this son of mine who was lost and is now coming home. And Jesus practices celebration. What's the first thing he does in John's gospel? He goes to a wedding, and at some point in this feast, they run out of wine, and his mother says, can we fix this? And Jesus doesn't say, well, you know, they probably had enough. It's last call, we're done. Jesus furthers their celebration and turns some water into wine. In fact, I don't know exactly how Jesus was acting, but at some point in his life, he gets accused of being a glutton and a drunkard. And you don't do that if you're not acting in some ways that are pretty celebratory. Jesus teaches and practices celebration. This continues even into the book of Acts. On the day of Pentecost, there are people speaking in tongues and celebrating God's new mercies. And some folks say, you know, I think all these people are drunk. And Peter says, no, they're not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. His answer is not, no, they're not drunk. They would never do that. It's only 9 in the morning, because if it were 9 p.m., we could have a different conversation. They're celebrating in ways that got mistaken for even behavior of gluttons and drunkards. People are celebrating over the top sometimes. And I'm not suggesting that it always has to be extreme, but I am saying that celebration is how we thank God for his blessings. That's how we acknowledge that God has brought good things into our lives. We dishonor God when we downplay those moments of blessing. When we just move on to the next thing and the next event and the next task, and we don't take time to celebrate. We can choose to celebrate even when we don't feel like it. It's not some accident. We do this on purpose. And we do it with intention to thank God. And I think we just have to navigate these two extremes, right? And so the way I choose to think about it is, we're not called to be monks and we're not called to be drunks. That's what I think, okay? Easy little rhyme. I think we know the dangers of one of them. We know why we shouldn't be drunks. We know the problems with that. We know the legal issues. We know the safety issues. We know the moral issues. We can name that danger, and it is a danger. It's not what God calls us to. But sometimes we struggle to name the danger of the other side, of this austere lifestyle that just keeps our head down and checks the next event and moves on and doesn't stop to thank God and acknowledge special moments. I remember a few years ago, the church I was serving, like many others, had taken in some Afghan refugees. And we were talking about cultural differences. And they were just so shocked to learn that our weddings were just one day. And not even one day, but part of one day. Theirs were multiple days. And it doesn't make one better than the other. But sometimes we just kind of say, well, I can give you about an hour, and then I've got something else to get to. And for them, this was a big deal. You bring everyone in. You spare no expense. And you celebrate this special moment. The teacher in Ecclesiastes says, eat, drink, and be merry because you are not guaranteed tomorrow. And how foolish we are when we refuse to celebrate because all we can think about is the next thing and the next thing. And we don't stop and give thanks to God for his blessings, and we don't stop to celebrate special moments. So, like, I just want to say to our graduates, it's a big deal. It's a big deal that you finished high school. I know sometimes in achievement cultures, we're asking, well, where are you going to go to college? And where are you going to go to law school or get your MBA, your finance degree? Graduating high school is a big deal. And it's hard. And it's not just academics. It's all the social stuff you have to navigate, all the life pressures. We don't take for granted high school graduation. It's a big deal. And we're really proud of you. Your church is proud of you. I'm proud of you. It's not easy. And it is right and good for us to stop for a few moments as a church family and celebrate this incredible accomplishment, because not everyone gets there, and we know that it was only with God's help that we do. So we stop and celebrate because we're really proud of you. So I'll close by telling you this story. A couple of weeks ago, many of our staff traveled up to the Oklahoma City area to celebrate a wonderful wedding with Tristan and Haley. And so we're up there. We've had a beautiful, beautiful wedding outdoors. Gorgeous time. Walk inside to the reception. And, you know, we've had our meal, and the DJ starts up. And we're watching all the kids, all the young ones do their thing. And most of us are kind of standing on the side because, like, we're not good at that sort of thing. And our backs kind of hurt, and that's not our thing anymore, okay? But then slowly people start to peel off, and my kids start joining, and everybody's having fun. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, this is not my scene. Like, I'm not any good at this. But then I remembered some words that the preacher who did my wedding said to Aubrey and me at our wedding. It's a quote. Now, I'm going to give you the original quote, and then I'm going to give you your reference. It's a quote by Mr. Miyagi in The Karate Kid. Some of you will know him as Mr. Han from the remake, okay? But there's a scene where some monks are enjoying some music, and they're dancing around, and someone says, "What are they doing? They're monks. That's not how it works." And Mr. Miyagi says, "Never trust a spiritual leader who cannot dance." Didn't say dance well. So I'll let you finish the story as to how the wedding reception ended, but we had a good time. And I had a sore back the next day. It is right and good for the people of God to gather together to celebrate. And this morning, we celebrate our graduates and are grateful to be part of this moment in our lives. It is good to celebrate, and thank you for being here this morning to help us do that. Let's stand and sing.